Now, all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and scribes were grumbling, saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough to spare? And here I am, dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'" So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Now the elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound." Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I've been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." Then the father said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found. Today's sermon title, "God Cries with Joy," is from a song that I'm going to sing a little bit later in the service. The song is titled "Prodigal." The first verse of this song is about the first son, and it begins, "When we are farthest from our God," when we're far away. The second verse is about the elder son, And the verse begins, when we are tempted to deny God's grace to others we despise. And then the refrain, celebrate now, my child is found. God cries with joy. Now, I select my sermon titles early in the week so that they can be placed on the outdoor sign. Several times this week, including coming to worship on Wednesday evening, and I saw that title, I asked myself, what was I thinking? God cries with joy? Is God really looking at our world, the whole church, our individual lives? Is God really crying with joy? I've often heard the opposite. Often hear the opposite. I often feel the opposite, that God is crying with sadness. But today we hear a truth that God cries with joy. Now also, Jesus is on the way to Jerusalem. As the storyteller Luke puts it, he set his face toward Jerusalem. He's going to the cross. He's going there to suffer and die. So the real question today might be, what was Jesus thinking when he's talking about all this celebrating and joy? Let's look at the context. The context today was in the first three verses. The scribes and the Pharisees were looking at Jesus, who is spending time with tax collectors and sinners and eating with them, fellowshipping with them, having meals with them. And to them, this was terrible. And in response to their reaction, Jesus tells three parables. If you notice, the reading today was verses 1 to 3, and then we skipped all the way to verse 11b. But there's two parables that Jesus tells before getting to the prodigal son. The first one that he tells is about a shepherd who goes looking for a lost sheep. He's got 100 sheep. One gets lost, and the shepherd goes out and looks for him. And when the shepherd finds that lost sheep, there is great joy. The second story is about a woman who has 10 coins and loses one. And she's distressed by that and so looks and looks and looks and looks. As I was preparing this sermon, I've heard this story for years and years, and it just struck me. Because I always wondered, you know, you've got the lost sheep, you've got the coin, and now you've got the prodigal son. What's this about the coin? Why is that important? And as I would, it jumped out at me. In that culture, if you had 10 coins, one of them belonged to God. A tithe, 10%. And I think the story that Jesus is telling is that this woman had lost what belonged to God. Her relationship with God had somehow been severed. And so when she found that coin, she was reestablishing her relationship with God. And there was great joy. And then the third story is the prodigal son. Now, all of these stories have one thing in common. At the end of each story, there is joy and celebration. The key to our story of the prodigal son, I believe, is that when the son, the younger son, came to his senses, he realized one thing, that his father was a good man. He'd forgotten that. He'd rejected that. He didn't believe that for such a long time, but he realized his father is a good man. And so Jesus is teaching here about God, that God is good. There's a liturgy maybe 25 or 30 years that's gone around the church a lot that lifts this up. The leader says, God is good, and the congregation responds, all the time. Let's try it. God is good. Oh, let's hear it again. God is good all the time. And the older son in the story had also taken that for granted. And he forgot that his father was a good man. The father was saying to that older son, oh, I missed my child. I did not like what my child did. But I never stopped loving my child. God is a shepherd who will look for a lost sheep. God is a woman who seeks a relationship with all that is holy. God is a father who welcomes sinners home. God is grace. God is love. God is forgiveness. God is good
all the time.
And so the father in this story told the older son, we had to celebrate. We had to celebrate. Now the storyteller, Luke, uses the original language, the Greek, and you know I like to go back to this a lot of times. Luke uses the Greek a lot of times to point to the cross of Christ. And that's what's happening here when the father says we had to celebrate. Jesus had said earlier, and Luke is using the exact same Greek word when Jesus says that the Son of Man has to suffer and die. The Son of Man has to go to Jerusalem and be crucified. He has to. Same word. Luke is telling us that it's necessary that Jesus would die, but it's also necessary that we celebrate his death because his death is the way to salvation. And because Jesus died, all people can be saved. Celebrate now, my child is found. God cries with joy. So our story today is really all about salvation. Now the word prodigal, as is often assumed, the word prodigal does not mean lost. I always used to think it did, the prodigal son, the lost son. It's not what that word prodigal means. The word prodigal means recklessly extravagant. Our translation puts it in as squandering. So the younger son goes off and he is prodigal. He's recklessly squandering everything he had. But both sons were prodigal. The young son squandered his life, his morals, his relationships, his well-being. The younger son squandered his faith. But the older son also squandered relationships with his father and with his brother. He was expecting the father to be revengeful. He was expecting punishment, not forgiveness, punishment. Both sons were prodigal. I often like to call this parable the prodigal sons or the prodigal brothers. But the real prodigal in this story is the father. I like to refer to this story most of the time as the prodigal father, because that's what the word prodigal means. Exceedingly, recklessly extravagant. The father offered recklessly forgiveness, not punishment, forgiveness. He was extravagant with grace, and that's who God is. It's extravagant with grace and with love. When one sheep is found when one coin, one relationship with the divine is recovered. When one child is found, God cries with joy. God cries with joy because the lost is found. Now, my favorite illustration about the prodigal son is something that happened to me in 1983. I'd been ordained about 7 years, and I was serving at a church in Toledo, Ohio. And I saw, and you know I love the theater, and I got an advertisement. There was a new theater that had opened up in East Toledo called the Palladium, and they were putting on my favorite play, my favorite musical, Godspell, which is based on the Gospel of Matthew. So I got a group of church members to go. Maybe we had 15 or 20 people going. And it was just wonderful. And so, you know, for those who know me and hear me talk about theater, after I go to a play or a musical, I'm processing it. You know, if Joe goes with me and we're all the way home, I'm telling about my experience and what I felt about it. Well, that happened here. But there was one place in that play that it just jumped out at me that there has to be a change. And so I wrote a letter to the crew, to the actors. And I told them how wonderful it was. And I told them, we're coming back. I'm getting another group of people. It was that good. But I made a suggestion, and it was about the story of the prodigal son. It was a very animated story, and the older son was complaining to the father, very animated, complaining about what the father had done and wasn't punishing him and all that. And again, this was 1983. So there was a comedian, he's still around, named Steve Martin, had a bit that was very popular around there, and the bit ended with the long phrase, well, excuse me. And so my suggestion is when the older son complains to the father should just turn to the son and say, well, excuse me. It was culturally very popular at that point, so I suggested that. Well, I got a letter which coincidentally was dated on my ordination anniversary, March 19th, 1983. And they put on their great bit, and we look forward to seeing you again. And the whole cast and crew signed that letter. It's one of my treasures. I've got it on my iPad if anybody wants to see it later. And it's just, it was wonderful. So we went back. And my line, just one line, just two words, great laughter. And I learned that what happened is that they didn't tell the younger son or the older son that the father was going to do this. They didn't tell the actor. So the father comes out with this line, and it sounds like a little bit of excuse me, and he just broke down. He couldn't stop laughing. The whole audience, they had to stop, I was told, the play for 5 minutes. It was so funny. And to hear that laughter, even a couple weeks later after they had tried it, was just amazing. My point is this. Is that the father's actions are joyful. And in that little play, there was laughter for 5 minutes. It is such joy what the father has done, that the father has forgiven, that the young son has returned. It's such joy, because I believe that the older son goes into that party and hears that, excuse me, and realizes this is the way the Father is forgiving and loving. The Father said to him, all that's mine is yours. I've given you everything. You're with me always. I love you as well. And I believe that the Father gave the gift of joy to the older son in the story. Receive my joy. Be joyful that your brother has returned. Be joyful when all are connected to God and to one another. Let us pray. Think of all that's bad in the world. Oh, there's a lot. And listen to the voice of God looking upon all this bad, this dissolute living, the wars, the violence, the division. And God says to a world in trouble, to a world in pain, to a world suffering, to a world sinning, God says, I want you all back. I want you back. I want you home. I want you with me. I am your God. You are my children. And now think of all that is good in the world, those who return to God. Think of all the good that is happening in the world, in our nation, in our church, in our families. And God comes in, and listen to the voice of God saying, receive my joy. My child, be joyful with me. Be joyful for all the good that is happening in the world. Because I cry with joy.